If the individual soul is itself a product of birth, and that soul is only a formation as long as that body remains, and that formation ceases, then what will be reborn? There is nothing to be reborn. There is nothing. It comes into being with the body. It dies with the body. Then there is no rebirth at all. I mean, the question of rebirth doesn't arise. So if the individual is only a temporary formation, beginning and ending with the body, then evolution can still be there. But rebirth will not be there. Rebirth does not exist and is not needed as a mechanism of that evolution. So this is the second possible formation of the data. Now the third alternative, or if the all existence expresses itself in a persistent but illusory individuality, rebirth becomes a possibility or an illusory effect, but it has no evolutionary necessity and is not a spiritual necessity. It is only a means of accentuating and prolonging the illusion up to its utmost time limits. There is a theory according to which the individual is a temporary formation, but not beginning with the body and ending with the body. That was the second alternative. This is the third alternative. In the third alternative, the soul or the individual is a formation, temporary formation, but persistent. That is to say, it may be argued that even when the human body dies, there is an inner formation of the individual which still continues to subsist, it persists. But it is temporary. And ultimately it is illusory. That is to say, at a certain stage you will find that it was a false notion that there was an individual at all. This is the view of Buddhism and of Mayavada, both of which maintain that the individual is a temporary but persistent, ultimately illusory reality. According to Buddhism, an individual consists of samskaras. He says there is a distinction between the human body and the human individual. The human body simply consists of matter. But human individual consists of samskaras, consisting of impressions, sensations, images, ideas, desires, impulses, thoughts. Make a complex of all this, which is housed in this body. Now this complex is different from the human body. Therefore, when the human body dies, this formation can still remain. And this body, this complex can incarnate into another body. It comes out of this body and then it goes into another body and develops further on and on and on until it reaches a point, an accentuating point. Where there is an experience of acute suffering, acute sense of bondage, and one begins to ask the question, what am I? Why am I bound to be in this condition where I am? Until you reach this point, you go on taking birth from body to body, and when you reach this question, then you begin your inquiry. Maybe that inquiry is not finished in that particular body, then again you come out, again you come into another body, and the inquiry continues. A point is reached where you discover that actually all that you call yourself is only a temporary formation. And this temporary formation has persisted for a long time, over long, long years, coming out from one body to the other. And then you discover that this formation can be broken. Because it is temporary, it can be broken. If by nature it is not temporary, you cannot break it. So because it is temporary, you can break it. So you find out that it is breakable. This formation can be broken. And when you break it, you find that actually it was a fluff. It was tuccha. Tuccha means it was nothing actually. Because when it is broken, you find that there is something quite different which has no connection at all with all that was happening all around. It is either shunya, as in Buddhism, what you discover after breaking your individuality, out of when you break that formation, you find there is only shunya. And with shunya there is no connection with this at all. All this formation was real fluff. It's like a bubble which bursts. Or you find it is entirely an immobile self, whereas this bubble was mobile all the time, whereas what you discover is not shunya but an immobile reality, completely silent self, in which there is not a possibility of any movement at all. So, even a temporary formation, which is a movement, was an impossible right from the beginning.
This is nirvana.
This is what they call nirvana, this state.
Moksha and nirvana. Moksha and nirvana.
This is one of, you might say, when you read the shunya, it is called nirvana. in the Shankara's philosophy, when you read the immobile reality, not shunya but immobile reality, is the stage of moksha. You are liberated. The temporary formation is dissolved. And you find it was not there at all. It was illusory, so it doesn't exist anymore. Now in this, if these are the data, then rebirth may be a fact, but rebirth does not become necessary. There's a difference between the two. There is no logical necessity that there must be rebirth. If the individual is a temporary formation, it can theoretically be broken any time. Why should it be broken only at a given time when you are accentuated and all that? Theoretically, there is no reason why it should persist for a long time. It may persist, it may not persist. Both the conclusions are possible. Therefore, Sri Aurobindo says, rebirth does not become a necessity. Rebirth may exist, but it does not become necessary. So, both Buddhism believes in rebirth. Shankara's Mayavada believes in rebirth. But under the data given there, rebirth is a possibility, but rebirth is not a necessity. So this is the third possibility.
Yes. I think Advaita, when you Buddhism and Advaita are about, they are saying about the same thing.
There is a great similarity between Advaita and Buddhism. Or rather, if I have to say more precisely, there is a great resemblance between illusionistic Advaita and Buddhism, because Advaita, there are many other forms of Advaita also which are not illusionistic. Therefore, Sri Aurobindo says that it may be temporary, persistent but illusory. So this argument applies only where individual is regarded to be temporary but persistent and illusory. Only if this is the data, then this is the conclusion. And this applies to Mayavada, Advaita, which is Mayavada, and Buddhism. Because both the theories, as far as individual is concerned, have the same idea. But both are different in the sense that according to Buddhism, when the temporary individual is dissolved, you find Shunya. According to Advaita, Mayavada Advaita, when this illusion is burst, you find immobile substance, not shunya but substance. You find a reality which is substance, sat.
But does not Buddhism deny God and Advaita accept God?
That is the meaning. Shunya means there is nothing at all. It denies everything, not only God but denies everything. There is no world, there is no individual, there is no God. You only have a temporary movement of karma which subsists for some time temporarily, and it can be broken. That is all that is there as far as the world is concerned. And beyond the world there is nothing, shunya. This is the Buddhistic position. Now Advaita believes that ultimate reality is not shunya. It is substance. Now substance is called Brahman, not God, but Brahman. So Advaita does not believe the ultimate reality of God. It believes the ultimate reality of Brahman, God is a reality with whom you can relate yourself. God is the creator, is the ruler, is the all-knower, whereas Brahman, since he is completely immobile, the qualities of controlling, moving, all these qualities don't exist in the Brahman. Therefore, according to Mayavada, even God is an illusion. But what is real is the Brahman, the substance. The immobile Brahman is real. So in Shankara's philosophy, there are three steps of argument. One is to say that you are aware of yourself, but that self is illusory. And when it is dissolved, you find that you are only Brahman, Tat Tvam Asi. Tat Tvam Asi, that thou art. But you are dissolved, you are no more there, because only Tat remains then. But as long as you were ignorant, the world existed, which never exists really speaking, but as long as you are ignorant, the world exists. And as long as the world exists, you have to answer the question as to who created the world. Therefore, you posit a God. So God exists as far as this world is concerned. But when you come to realize the Brahman, then neither you exist nor the world exists. And since the world does not exist, there is no creator of the world. Therefore, even God does not exist. Therefore, according to Shankara, God is to be believed in as a temporary crutch, you might say, which you can throw away afterwards when you realize the Brahman. So you can worship God when you are in the illusion. But afterwards, when you enter into the dawning of knowledge, the true knowledge, then there is nothing to be worshipped, because who is there to be worshipped? Neither you exist nor the God who is to be worshipped exists. The worshipper does not exist, worship does not exist. There is only one reality, the Brahman itself. So the Brahman alone exists. So if these are the data, then you can say that rebirth is a possibility, maybe a fact even, but it's not inevitable fact. It is not as if rebirth is an absolute necessity in this scheme of universe. Now we come to a fourth alternative. If there is an individual soul or Purusha, not dependent on the body, but inhabiting and using it for its purpose, then rebirth begins to be possible, but it is not a necessity if there is no evolution of the soul in nature. The presence of the individual soul in an individual body may be a passing phenomenon, a single experience without a past, here or future. Its past and its future may be elsewhere. This is the view of some of the major religions of the world of today. Not Hinduism, nor Buddhism, nor Jainism, but all the other religions, Islam, Christianity, Judaism, they believe that there is an individual soul which inhabits this body. But the soul does not have evolutionary purpose. So it believes that there is a soul, not a temporary formation, nor an illusory formation. It is something which is different from the human body. It is different even from sanskaras.